Good morning again. You're probably wondering what I'm doing putting that up there, because I don't use that, because I'm not preaching this morning. So we actually are blessed this morning with a guest speaker, a good friend of mine. We've Sandwell Ziambo. I had to ask him if he would pronounce his name for me this morning, because, So Sandwell comes from us from Zambia, Africa. And he is actually a graduate of the International Bible College over in Zambia. And as most of you know, Tammy and I have for the last number of years been able to go over and participate in that ministry and teach over there. And we met Sandwell a number of years ago, and I got to know him over the years as we would go back. And he graduated about 2.5 years ago from that, from the International Bible College over there. And then took some time in preparation to come over here to the States, and was finally able to work out all the details, and has been attending Moody Bible Institute now for the last year and a half, working on his MDiv. And in fact, he's got 3 semesters left, if I'm right. And he'll be finishing up that degree and then going back to Zambia to proclaim the gospel there and to carry out the Lord's work there. It's been an honor. I got a call from him earlier this year, toward the end of the spring. Actually, it was in the spring. He was looking for an internship and wanting to know if we could support or bring him here as do an internship. We weren't able to do that, but I have a good friend of mine over in Minden, Tom Barnes, who's the pastor of the E-Free Church over there, and I knew that Tom would be an excellent mentor, and so I called Tom and said, hey, have an opportunity. I don't know if you're open to this, and he was, and it worked out. So actually, Sandwell has been over in Minden through the summer doing an internship with Tom Barnes over there and has had an awesome time. So I'm going to come on up here, Sandwell, and let you come on up, and I'm going to let you get settled in here, and then I'm going to pray for you. And we're going to let you deliver the gospel, deliver the word to us this morning. Let you get set up there. And all right, well, let's pray together for Sandwell as he delivers the word to us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to come together and to listen to the word preached. Lord, we know that as we gather together, Lord, you bring us together because of the preached word. Lord, we can't come to faith in Jesus Christ unless there be a preacher. And unless that preacher preaches about Jesus and about the gospel, Lord, there's no way to come to you apart from your word. And so, Lord, we thank you so much for the ministry of the word. We thank you so much for those whom you have called. And I thank you so much for my brother Sandwell. Father, I thank you for the training that you've given to him. I thank you for the opportunity for him to come and spend a summer in Nebraska, and to get to know good people here who love you, and ultimately, Lord, to be drawn closer to you in a deeper understanding of the gospel. Lord, as he preaches this morning, may you anoint him with your Holy Spirit. May you give him power that comes only from you, and may you open up our hearts and minds to the truth of your word, and may you, by your power, help us, Lord, to understand and then to go and to live out this reality that you have called us to. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor Kelly Larson, for the privilege. I am so grateful to God for all the things that he has done in my life. To begin with, I would like you to be reminded of the goodness of God in your life. You be reminded of the goodness of God in your life. Where in your life, God has been good. The awesomeness of God, the hour of God, the wonder of God, the goodness of God, where God has been good in your life. And that's the thing that I want to remind us as the church, that God is good and he has been good in our lives. And it is easy for us to forget that God, the God that we serve, is a good God. And most of the things that makes us to forget that God is a good God is because maybe we have put ourselves in the place of God. We have become ourselves God. It's because maybe we have much comfort that makes us forget who God is. I remember when I was about 10 years old, my mom was dying. and from HIV and AIDS. I lost the hope because I had nowhere to go to. And my brothers, who were also young, and my other brother was about 12 and I was 10 and my young brother was 8, and all of us, we were young. And we lost hope of living because our mother, she was the only one that was taking care for us. And this is because she was divorced when I was 2 years old. And she was doing her best to be able to keep us as the children in the house. But when she died, I lost hope and life was kind of very confusing for me. I didn't know the meaning of life. I didn't know the purpose of my existence. I was like, this is the end of life. But the Lord is gracious. It is during that time that he sent a precious friend of mine that I always remember, who came to proclaim the gospel of Christ to me. And then when he proclaimed the gospel of Christ, I became a Christian. I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And God changed my life. And when God changed my life, I began to experience joy. I began to see again hope. I began to see the purpose of my life. In short, God restored the purpose of my life. He restored hope to me. And I believe I'm not the only one that has gone through such kind of life before. But many people have gone through such kind of life where they have lost hope. And it is the same hope that the Apostle Paul was talking about in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Apostle Paul is reminding the Christians in the book of Ephesians that they were hopeless. In short, they were separated from God. And God sought after them. And God saved them, secured them, and he put them into service. So his idea and his understanding, he wants the people in the church of Ephesus to be able to remember that one time these people were hopeless. And God gave them hope. And after giving them hope, he restored the purpose of their lives. That they should live to glorify him and to honor him, to put God in his place. In short, they should not lose the wonder of God's grace in their lives. It's very easy to lose the wonder of God's grace. And God is reminding the believers through the apostle that they should not lose his wonder of his grace. I would like to start with a little bit of introduction of this book that we are talking about. The book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 1 up to 10. This book was written by the Apostle Paul, and it was written for the purpose of instructing or encouraging the cosmic redemption of the work of God in Christ and the unity of the church among the diverse people and the proper conduct of the church and the home in the world. Unity and love in the bond of peace mark the work of the Savior as well as Christians' grateful response to his free grace in their lives. One of the interesting things that we find in the city of Ephesus is the temple called, there was a temple called the Temple of Artemis. And the Temple of Artemis is among the seven ancient wonders of the world. And the Temple of Artemis, the people of Ephesus, they boasted in this temple for reasons that it was magnificent. It was wonderfully built. And they had a source of pride in it because they did it with their own money and with their own strength. And what we see is that in this city of Ephesus, because they had this temple and they were boasting, somehow this kind of boasting entered even into the church. Because they thought they were able to do everything for themselves. How many of us have ever heard people say that God helps those who help themselves? And actually, I never knew that this phrase is not in the Bible until I went to the Bible college. I was thinking it is in the Bible. Because people used to say, God helps those who help themselves. And I grew up believing that. And many other people have grown up believing that God helps those who help themselves. And they believe that that is in the scriptures. But it is not there. You can search from Genesis to Revelation. You won't find that. You won't find that. But I believe that it is the other way around. God helps those who are helpless. I was helpless in my situation. I saw God lifting me up. There is no way that after being saved, I could be able to go even to school, to high school, finish my high school, go to the Bible college, and go to the seminary without parents. There is no way. Somewhere God has been working out things for me. And I've seen that not only that, but even in my hopeless situation when I did not receive Jesus Christ, I was hopeless. But after receiving Jesus Christ, I see that I did not do anything. I did not do anything. God did the work in my life to be able to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. But there are many lies that we can believe as believers and that can make us lose the wonder of God. So, one thing that we want to talk about is that we were separated from God because of our sinful nature. And we are going to read the passage. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "And you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." This is true in Zambia, this is true in America, this is true wherever you go in the world. Man on himself is unable to do anything that can be pleasing to God. Wherever you go. So, which means that apart from Christ, we are hopeless and we are helpless. The other thing is that who we are and what we love to do is contrary to God's will if we are not in Christ. Our desires are parallel to God's will. Our thoughts, the way we use our minds, we use our bodies, the way we use our life is parallel to God's will when we are not in Christ. And that's natural. We love to obey the devil. We love to obey the things that are not of God. Because it is a natural thing to do for a mind, a person who is in the situation of hopeless situation. That is the situation the Bible calls here that dead in our sin. To be dead, which means we cannot respond. We cannot see the goodness of God. We cannot see the love of God because we are dead in our own sins. But Christ, in his love, He saved us from this life of disobedience. And I'll read verse 3. It says, among whom we once lived in passion of flesh, carrying out the desire of the body and the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. And then he says, but God, but whom? But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. By grace you have been saved. I have been saved by grace. If you have trusted in Christ as your personal Savior, you have been saved by the grace. And this leads us to say that God sought after us. In our sinful nature, God sought after us. Which means our salvation is grounded not only in our own works, but it is grounded on God's goodness, His nature. It is grounded in the purposes of God, in His nature. In His nature, meaning that God is great. And in His greatness, He loves us. He's kind with us. He's merciful with us. This gives us the reason of how this need has been met. God has met our need by providing Himself through Christ a way to salvation. He has restored the purpose of our lives. The theologian that I really like, the guy by the name of Charles Spurgeon. And Charles Spurgeon, on the grace of God, this is what he said. Repentance was never yet produced in any man's heart apart from the grace of God. Repentance was never produced in any man's heart apart from the grace of God. This is true because the book of Colossians also tells us, chapter 2 and verse 13 says, and you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. God made alive together with him, having forgiven all our trespasses. And you once were alienated, hostile in mind and doing evil deeds. That's Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. And Ephesians also confirmed chapter 4, verse 18. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their hearts. So, meaning that we were in a hopeless situation that we could not help ourselves, but God sought after us in His loving kindness, in His nature, in His goodness, to be able to bring us to the life of internal life, the life of salvation that we have in. And God did this because of who He is, not because of what we have done, not because of what we can do, but because of what He is. So our salvation is grounded in who God is, and He has given us that grace. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love, which He has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with Him, and seated us with Him in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming age, He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ. And it is a privilege. It is not that He has given us only the life that we need, but He has raised us from the dead. He has seated us with Christ. And this is a future thing for us. And this gives us hope Hope that we are not going to be here on earth forever, but we are going to meet with Christ. We are going to be seated with Him in the heavenly place. In other words, Paul is also reminding these believers that you need to focus or fix your eyes or your mind on the heavenly things, because you are not here for eternity, but you are going to be with Christ, because Christ has given you the victory already. He has saved us and made us alive together with Him. And we are seated with Him in the heavenly places. This is the future thing. We will be with Christ forever. And we have hope in Christ. And then the other thing that we have to realize is that we serve a great God who made us alive, raised us up, seated us with Jesus Christ. So in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are enthroned at the right hand of God as the key victory to our life. So this means that Christ is the object of our faith. There is the object of our faith. And one of the things that the Bible calls us to as believers is to be able to have faith in God, to trust God for our lives, that He can take good care of us. This is spiritual, but also in some ways God does it even in the physical realm. The other thing that we have to remember is that as Christians we are also united with Christ. There is a bond between Christ and us, so that what is said of Christ can also be said of us. If Christ has life in Himself, we have life through Christ Jesus. And the ground of our salvation, as I said, is God's love and mercy. And this ground of our salvation, the purpose of saving us, is that God, He would show Himself greatly, and that He would glorify Himself through our lives. The book of Titus chapter 3 verse 5, it says, He has saved us not because of our works done by us in the righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Spirit. And the book of Romans also agrees to say, you do supreme in riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to the repentance. We wonder sometimes God keeps people that we think don't deserve to keep living. One of the reasons God may be keeping those people is to show them that they need to repent from their sins. Or you may wonder in your own life why God is not treating you as you deserve. One of the reasons is that God wants you to come to the level where you repent as you see His goodness, as you see His greatness, as you see His love. He wants you to go in repentance, ask for forgiveness, and God will be with you. God is a gracious God. That's why He sent His only beloved Son, that whoever would believe in Him should have eternal life. We have no life apart from Christ. Our life is hidden in Christ. And it's not only that we were separated from God and God sought after us, but the other thing is that God, after looking after us or searching for us, what He did after saving us, He secured us and He put us into service. One of the amazing stories from the Bible that I still remember is the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a man who was trying to see Jesus, and he was short. But what he did, he had to climb a certain tree so that he can be able to see Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, as he was coming, he told him to come down and follow him. And then they had dinner together. They were eating together with Jesus Christ. And people who were rigoristic in their understanding, they were like, Jesus, how come you are eating with this man? And Jesus Christ was not bothered by them because he knew his mission. He wanted to save the lost. He wanted to save the sinners. But one interesting thing about this man, Zacchaeus, is like, after he saw the goodness of God, the amazing grace of God that was in Christ Jesus, he repented of his sins. After the repentance, what he did, he even decided to give back some of the monies that he had. And one of the special things is that this guy was rich. And I want you to look at another story in the Bible also, from the book of Matthew chapter 19 and verses 16, which is the opposite of this story. And this guy who came to Jesus Christ this time was a rich young man. He was a rich young man, and he came to Jesus Christ. He was asking Jesus Christ how he would go to heaven, or how he would go gain the kingdom of God. And Jesus Christ was telling this guy that you have to obey. And then this guy, he mentioned all these important commandments that he kept. And he was very good guy because he kept all these things. In his own eyes, he was very good guy. But I see different things in this, because later on, Jesus Christ is telling this guy who was rich, and he thought he did well, he was right with God because of his good works. Jesus Christ tells this man that there is one thing that is lacking in him. There is one thing that is lacking in him. And many are the times that people have got two responses to the grace of God. Some other people will respond like Zacchaeus. They will repent from their sins and ask for God to forgive them and move on with life that God has purposed for their lives, to accept the grace of God in their lives. But many other people are like this young man who was rich, that they ignore the grace of God and they think they can do well on their own without the help of God. That's a huge problem. But God's desire is for us to see life the way He wants us to see it. And God wants us to see it that He saves us not because of what we have done, not because of what we can do, but He saves us by His grace. And the word here, grace, in the original language, is called charis or charis. And this word charis is where we take our word, which we represent charismatic. Or charismatic. And when we talk about charis, we talk about giftings. And giftings are the things that we do not do anything for us to possess them or gain. And what is more amazing in this passage, it says, by grace you have been saved through faith, and not on your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of your work, so that anyone may boast. And what is amazing is that he says, by grace. And then later on he says, the gift of God. So it is an emphasis. He's emphasizing the point that this is something that you cannot do to gain. So when we talk about the giftings of God, they are examples of what God wants us to embrace or to have in our lives. So what do we learn from verses 8 up to 10? We learn that we are saved and secured by grace of God, and we are put into the service by God's grace. And the first thing that we have to understand that we are adopted into God's family by the grace of God. In other words, adoption is the gift of God that requires no works or boasting. One of the things that I have learned during my walk with Christ is that the pride of human heart is the enemy of the doctrine of grace. The pride of human heart is the enemy of the doctrine of grace. Because personally, I want to gain a name for what I am doing. It's either my identity. People would work hard so that the world would know them. People would do something so that they would have the name on top. And I've seen that even in my own life. I've seen that. Struggling to do some things that would make me be known by other people. And that is the enemy of grace. Because when you receive the grace of God, there's nothing else that people will know you about for, but apart from the grace of God. When people look at your life, they will only be amazed by the grace of God in your life, not be amazed by your talents or your abilities or what you possess. People will be amazed by the grace of God that is in your life. And that's God's desire. God's desire is that people would see Him in our lives. God's desire is that people would see Him in our lives. But the pride of human heart wants to put ourselves as the center of life. Wants to put ourselves as the people who wants all the glory. We are always looking for a ground of glorifying in ourselves. Or growing in ourselves. That is the nature of man. And man would rather perish in his own righteousness than submitting to the grace of God. Man would rather perish in his own righteousness. This is a struggle even for Christians. We struggle to do things to please God. We struggle to do certain things to say that maybe we can gain favor from God. But God's desire is for us to rest in His abundant grace that He has already provided. And the special thing about the grace that God has given us is not only that He has saved us, but He has secured us. We are fully in Christ. So, in other words, this salvation that God has given us is something that has already been done, but is still being done. We are continuing until to the coming of Christ Jesus. But as we continue following Christ Jesus, it is important that we recognize the grace of God. It is important that we are reminded of the hour or the wonder of the precious grace of God that He has given in our lives. Salvation is completed action that has a present effect or effect. The other aspect that we see in verses 8 up to 10 is that He says, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. But just before that, He says, you have been saved by the grace and through faith. And one of the things that is very important for us to come into the kingdom of God or to be part of the children of God is to put our trust in God. Someone may be asking, how do I have this relationship that you have with Christ? Yes, there is one way you can have that relationship with Christ. It is by putting your trust in Him, in His accomplished work. God wants us to trust Him and to put our faith in Him in order to be saved. And that's His desire. And someone may say, yeah, is that not my own part? In some ways, it's true, it's your part. But even the faith that you are going to have to be able to trust in the Lord is from the Lord. The Bible declares in Romans that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of the Lord. When you hear the word of God, God puts the ability in you to begin to believe Him and trust Him. And that is not of your own work. It is the work of God. Faith is the means by which our eyes are opened to see the true condition of our hearts. We are so blinded in our own understanding that we do not see the true condition in our hearts. And one of the things that really I am thankful about is the song that is called Amazing Grace. And Amazing Grace, there are about two sentences or phrases in there that really touches me. One of them is that God is saving a wretched sinner. And the other one is that I was blind, but now I can see. So God is not looking for perfect people, but He's looking for sinners. He's sorting after sinners, and He wants to save them. And after saving them, He wants to be glorified in their lives. But one of the reasons why we do not see the need of salvation in our lives is because of our hearts are blinded with sin, such that we cannot see the goodness of God. We cannot see the love of God in its fullness. We cannot see the kindness of God. We are so blinded with our own ways, with our own heart desires, with our own pursuit of life and success and whatever it may be that can hinder God's way in our lives. But God's desire is that He can remove this veil that has blinded us from seeing His goodness. And one of the means for us to be able to see God's goodness is by faith. So in other words, this faith opens our eyes to see God's goodness, to see the need of salvation, to see the purpose even of our lives. Faith is the response which received what God has already done for us in Christ. When we speak of boasting, it says, so that one may not boast. When we speak of boasting, we speak of deeds, abilities, characteristics or manners showing pride or self-justification. One of the things that I've seen in life is that we have different kinds of Christians. And it's nice that we are different the way we are. But one of the things that I've learned is that there is a level in a Christian walk that when we forget that we were saved by the grace and God sought us out to be able to be in His kingdom, there's a sense of pride that comes in. And when it comes in, what it does, it makes us forget our mission. It also makes us forget our goal and purpose of life. It makes us do that because as we see here, the Bible is saying, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I have met people in life that when they are telling you their testimony, it will sound as if they did something for them to be saved. I've also met people in life that when they are telling you about their success in life, how they have achieved things in life, how they went maybe to the college or the university, or how they got famous in their life, you would see that there is no grace added in their lives. And they think they did everything possible to be where they are by their own strength. I may be wrong, but if I am right with this passage of the scripture, the interpretation is saying God prepared the works beforehand. There is no reason to boast in what God prepared for you beforehand. This means that your career is not a surprise to God. God is not surprised of where you are right now. He knows everything. God knows your job. God knows your family. God knows everything about you. So everything is not a surprise to God. And therefore, there is no reason to boast. If God gave me the strength, God gave me the ability to be able to have what I have, I do not need to boast. I have a roommate at Moody Bible Institute, and one of the things that he does, he is a hard-working guy. And one of the things that the Lord taught me through him is that he never needed help from any person. He was like a guy who wants to do everything possible by his own strength and achieve everything that he wants to achieve. Which is a good thing that he was doing. But I realized that this person, as my roommate, I needed to challenge him that he should see the grace of God even in what he's doing. So one day he was telling me that he wished he would be like Sandwell. My name is Sandwell. So he said, I wish I would be like you who just receives things from people and you do not work for them. Then I started thinking about it. I'm like, what? So my brother is saying, okay, he is working hard to achieve what he has, but me, I'm just receiving from people. And then what is his view of how God works? So I was like, okay, let's see. When you wake up in the morning, who gives you the strength to go and work and have the money that you have? He's like, God gives me the strength. Do you know that there are other people who are in bed right now and they are very sick that cannot go to work because they are very sick? There's nothing they can do about it. He's like, yes. He started seeing the grace of God even in the strength that he has to be able to do the work of God. So wherever ministries, wherever work kind of job that you are doing, recognize that God has put into place, has put you into that position or that family or that place of work because of his grace. And you remember the wonder of God's grace. You remember the goodness of God that way. To say, it is only by God's grace that I am here today. It is only by God's grace that I have what I have. What you possess, it is only by God's grace. God is not a respecter of any person. He loves us just the way we are. And he can do anything. And when he does something good to me, it doesn't mean that I am special than the other. And that is the point of humility. That's where God wants us to humble ourselves and to say, he is the one that deserves the glory. And the other thing that I wanted really to talk about is the Greek word for workmanship. Literally, it means a thing of making or handwork. Here, the spiritual creation, not the physical, is referred to. So meaning, in other words, that when God says we are the workmanship of God, it means we are spiritually created a new being. As a result, that's where the purpose of God's works comes in. Because you are a new being in Christ, and then God now begins to use you. And what is the purpose of God saving you? Is to glorify him and to enjoy him forever, as many scholars have agreed upon that. That is the purpose of God creating you. He wants us to glorify him through the works that he has already prepared. So whatever kind of job that you are doing, it is for the glory of God. Whatever you are working from, it is for the glory of God. And God did that in advance so that you may glorify him. And I did a little bit of studies on the word before ordained. A Greek word for before ordained says before made ready. God marks out for each in his purposes beforehand the particular good work and the time and the way he sees it best. That's what it means. There is a quote here by Laila Gift Akaya, and this is what she said. It is only by God's grace and hope in great God of wonders we have received strength and the ability for every day life. It is only by God's grace that we have received all these things. And the question will arise, hey, Sandwell, you have talked a lot, but how can I apply this? And I think here is how you can apply this. When we understand the grace of God, we do not make ourselves a center of life. Life is not about us. It's all about glorifying God through good works that he has already prepared. We do not own God. He owns us. We are his for his glory. So how should we respond then? We should respond with humility, with a heart of gratitude toward God's grace. We should never lose the wonder of his grace in our lives or other people's lives. And finally, invite other people to experience the grace that you are experiencing in Christ. It is very important for you to do that. Let other people see God. So please, if you forget everything that I've said, I want to remind you to remember that you were nothing before Christ, and that Christ saved you from your sins, and that you should also remember that Christ restored your purpose for life. Before we pray, if there is anyone in this place that has never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I would encourage you to take this privilege to pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart and allow him to be the Savior of your life. And you begin to see life the way he sees it. And you will glorify him by putting him as the center of your life. Shall we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege that you have given us to be sons and daughters into your kingdom. And Lord Almighty, that we can be part of what you are doing in the kingdom of God. May you be glorified in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you and we praise you. We adore you for all you have done. May we never lose the wonder of your grace and of who you are. In Christ's name, Jesus, we ask and pray. Amen. God bless.
I'd like to invite you to stand again as we close our time this morning, singing Blessed Assurance. And as Sandwell was sharing his story of how God has worked in his life, I love hearing the different stories that God has been working out his salvation in our lives. And so as we sing through this song, just remember what Sandwell talked about today. That's the goodness and the mercy of God in our lives through Jesus Christ that gives us salvation. And I hope that no matter what your story is, that part of your story is true.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, I'm happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Can you say this morning, this is my story, this is my song? Have you experienced the grace of God in your life? Well, something that Samuel said that really struck me is that God did not come for perfect people. He came for sinners. And that is so encouraging to me, because I know that I can look at my own life and I can see the sin of my own life. And it's so encouraging. You know, He didn't come to save perfect people. He didn't come to save the self-righteous. He came to those who are desperately in need of Him. I wonder, is that your story? The other thing that Sandwell said that was so encouraging to me, and I wonder if you've thought about this, is what is said of Him can be said of me. Do you think of that way in your relationship with Christ? What is said of Him can be said of you? If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've put your trust in Him, then that statement is true. What could be said of Jesus can be said of you because you have been clothed in His righteousness. So I want you to go this week and I want you to embrace the grace of Christ and allow that message to fill your hearts with gratitude. In fact, I'm going to encourage you this afternoon at lunch to take a moment with whomever you're having lunch with to express verbally together the gratefulness that you have of what Christ has done for you. Go and serve Him in that grace. Be blessed.
To embrace, not accept it. We were given nothing more, so we kept it. As the colors of our boots keep fading, live a life that we hate without saying. Who would listen to the cries of a poor man? Never done nothing, how can we be something? Every heart has an hour of existence. Every breath brings a chance for redemption.
Like we were children,
like we were children.
from the sea. Yeah.